Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. The focus of today's show is the local newspaper, The Daily Historian, an institution and respected voice in the community since the 19th century. At a time when many newspapers have either gone out of business or drastically reduced their content, The Daily A, as locals call it, has continued to publish 5 days a week without fail. But that is about to change. The newspaper announced last Tuesday it is scaling back its publication from 5 days a week to three and changing its name for the print editions to simply The Historian, effective May 6th. A statement published in the March 19th paper explained that while the newspaper is, quote, changing our business model, we are not retreating in the North Coast market. We are evolving into a more sustainable news source, end quote. Here in the studio to speak about these changes are the newspaper's publisher, Carrie Borgen, and its editor, Jim Van Nostrand. Welcome to the studio, Carrie and Jim.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you.
The big question is, why is the newspaper making these changes? Carrie, would you like to start?
Sure. There's no secret that our business is evolving. All of the communications industry is evolving. And many other industries are evolving, too. Online banking, online retailing has changed the faces of those businesses. So as we look forward, there are fewer people who are taking a print subscription. More people than ever now, actually, are viewing us online. And we're looking at how we deliver our content, both in print and online, in a business way that makes sense and that we can sustain. So delivery costs have been one of the things we've been watching for a while. And unfortunately, delivering the print edition is very expensive. And so we decided at one point we either go big or go home, get into the delivery business and go big, or let's leave it to the professionals at the post office who are also partnering with Amazon, UPS, and that deliver every day. And so that helped us with our choice for mail delivery.
Will the news be as fresh, as current, if it's delivered by mail?
You know, not in the sense that it has been. There are some stories in print that will be 2 or 3 days old. As it is now, because of our weekend break, we sometimes do that with sports on Friday night, for example. We try and focus on things that look forward, more issues-oriented reporting, more enterprise reporting, as we call it. We try and do that every day in the paper. You know, we still run daily stories. Here's what's happening today, or here's what's happened yesterday. But we try and look forward as much as possible. And in some cases, this change will allow us to be more responsive. For example, Friday night sports. Right now, you don't get them till Monday in the paper. With this change, we'll be able to get them in the next day's paper in the Saturday editions. So there's some cases where it'll help us. And with the digital delivery, we're already publishing digital first, 7 days a week. If news breaks over the weekend, we post it then. So as a news staff, we'll continue to publish the local news that we're doing now. We'll publish it that day for digital. We're investing in a breaking news app where you can get push notifications on your smartphone when stuff breaks. So when news happens, we'll still break it online right then.
Okay.
But in some cases with this news cycle, it may be as much as 2 or 3 days old when it hits print.
Oh, okay. So we can still get news throughout the week online?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not changing.
No, and in fact, that's where a lot of our emphasis has been. We've gone to a new website as of December?
December, yes.
With new multimedia capability that we didn't have before. So we're telling stories in different and more robust ways than we were able to, not only with our old website, but also in print. So we are continuing to invest in that side of the business as well, to make it fresh, make it more interactive. And in recognition that we can put more into print in 3 days than we are right now in five.
Well, and you mentioned in your statements, there were two statements in the newspaper, lengthy statements, explaining that the news content isn't being reduced at all. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We're taking pains to not reduce page counts, so that right now you're getting a one section paper 5 days a week. Now you'll have a two or three section paper 3 days a week. We're planning on investing in some more features, more puzzles, more comics. We recently had a press upgrade, where now we're able to print color throughout every section. So color comics that we didn't have before. We're investing in print. We print for a number of newspapers around the region. We're a print hub. So, you know, the fact that we're able to invest in our printing technology and keep our news staff intact and to publish the same amount of news, we think that's the value here. You know, unfortunately, we had to cut our carrier force. You know, we're achieving some savings that way. But those savings will allow us to continue producing local news, which is the primary job of the newspaper.
Okay. So are you having to reduce your staff at all besides the independent carriers?
We are maintaining our content producing staff. We really don't anticipate at this point having staff reductions. What we're saving is delivery and not cutting, like many other companies, on content producers. We're also not cutting on the press, you know, the Longview Daily News.
I wondered about that because you're going from 5 days a week to three, but your press staff is going to stay the same?
They will. And in fact, we do print many weekly papers in the area. And with the Longview Daily News now not printing, they are printing in Albany.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they've shuttered their press. So that's another one of the cost-saving measures that print newspapers are looking at. Mm-hmm. It's not one that we're looking at right now because we have enough work on the press to maintain our current press staff.
Mm-hmm.
Another point to make about the frequency of the delivery is that right now we go to press at 11 a.m. each weekday. You get it from a carrier, we try to say by 5 each day, although sometimes it comes later. With the move to the mail carriers, you'll still be getting it the same day, but we're moving our production cycle to the night before so that single copies will actually be available on the streets, in the coffee shops, and in the stores that morning. So in some ways, you'll be getting the print news quicker.
Have you had a significant reduction in your advertising revenue with a lot of business going online now? We're ordering goods online, which means we're not ordering them from local merchants, which means local merchants don't have the money to advertise.
It varies, and it varies by category. We've seen some reduction, if you want to say from 15 years ago. We've seen some reduction and some impact, just as retailers will tell you they've been impacted by that. And that's really driven that economic piece. However, you know, Craigslist has been an effect on classifieds as well.
Oh, I bet.
But we do see some of that come back in certain categories. Employment is one that, even though you can advertise on Craigslist, usually the people that apply are a little different caliber than the ones who are replying to a newspaper
mm-hmm.
ad. So it kind of varies by category, Joan.
Oh, I would imagine. What about your circulation? How has that changed over, say, 20 years?
Print circulation has been dropping in the newspaper business since the 40s.
Oh, really? Wow. So not just with the internet.
No, not just with the internet. Although, obviously, the way people receive their information is changing. And if you'll talk, broadcasters know, newspapers know that the way people receive their information has been highly impacted by the internet. And so there's more voices, there's more sources, and that has changed. Also, the aging of the baby boomer demographic. Baby boomers have been big newspaper readers. And so as baby boomers age, the group that grew up with internet tends to go away from newspapers, so that has impacted the print circulation. So even though we keep that demographic online, we lose some of that in print.
Oh, Okay.
And as I've said many times before, we have more readers now than we ever have had before.
Really? That's fantastic.
We reach more than 100,000 people a day online.
Mm-hmm. And are those all subscribers?
Not all subscribers, but you know, we have a subscription model for our website, so readers get a certain number of views before they're prompted to sign up. And we even offer a day pass if somebody just wants to see a couple articles and move on.
What kind of reaction have you heard from the public to the news that you're reducing publishing from 3 days or from 5 days a week to three?
The biggest effect, of course, is that our contracted carriers will no longer have a contract with us. And that's sad. It's the end of an era. Some of us remember when we had youth carriers.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. But again, you know, that business changed when contracts had to be done between 18 and up. You know, the business changes. And so that's actually the biggest effect and the one that we're the most sad about. Other than that, though, people have been very supportive. They want to keep their daily paper. They understand the economics and the changing demographics and the changing business models, and understand that 3 days a week, a mail delivered, seems to make sense. And particularly when we're really committed to giving them all the news that they're getting in five, really 24/7, 7 days a week online, and in print 3 days a week.
Jim, you had a comment?
Yes, I have to say that delivering a newspaper was my first job that I ever had.
I think it was for many, many people of our generation.
Back in the day. So, you know, I am obviously sad to see that change. But I see it as a necessary evolution at this point in our history. Because, as we mentioned before, we want to preserve our news staff. We want to make sure that each edition and our website every day has the most local news it can possibly have. And you need reporters to do that. You know, and the newspaper had some make some difficult choices about where it cut. But to your question about the feedback that we're getting, we're also getting some questions from readers are you going bankrupt? Are you going out of business? You know, that there seems to be a bit of an overreaction to some of this. And I can't stress strongly enough that these changes put us in a much stronger financial position, you know, as Carrie has mentioned. I can say the EO Media Group has virtually no debt. And that position, and with the press and the way our operation is set up, that positions us well for the future. I mentioned before when I talked to you last a year and a half ago, both Carrie and I have come from companies that have made much deeper cuts. My position at the last company I worked for no longer exists.
Wow.
They're laying off people left and right across our industry.
It's sad.
I mean, every day it's another big news operation laying off scores of people.
Well, and I suspect that's why people would respond, are you going bankrupt?
Right. And so I can't say it strongly enough, you know, we're trying to be proactive here and avoid that fate. You know, I think these changes position us well for that.
Well, that's great. I had no idea that delivering a newspaper was such a big cost for the paper.
It is. It's when you think about driving past every house on a street to deliver a paper and what goes into that and making it worthwhile for the carriers, it's a very costly endeavor. And that's why you'll note that Amazon does not have their own delivery force. They use the Postal Service.
Oh, true.
And even UPS, if you order a package, sometimes the Postal Service will deliver your UPS package. And that's because they also partner with the Postal Service. It's kind of leveraging that expense rather than bearing the expense on each of those companies.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Carrie Borgen, publisher of The Daily Historian, and Jim Van Nostrand, its editor. They are speaking about significant changes about to occur at the newspaper, not the least of which is the decision to reduce publication from 5 days a week to three, beginning May 6th. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. Let's talk about how newspapers have changed with the advent of the World Wide Web. Coincidentally, maybe not coincidentally, three decades ago. Jim, you've, as you mentioned a minute ago, your position at, was it Reuters or?
McClatchy.
McClatchy doesn't even exist anymore. So what kind of changes have you seen as a journalist on the news side?
Well, you're seeing newspapers that are cutting back their local staffs and relying in much more so on wire copy and on community copy, which the quality of, you know, varies widely. I went home to Spokane, you know, this last summer and stopped in for a copy of my old paper on a Sunday, and there was no local story on the front page on Sunday. Everything's being run remotely in another state. I mean, large media companies are bleeding their local operations dry in the name of profit, debt, et cetera.
Oh, that's sad.
So locally owned companies without debt that are committed to their communities are more important than ever before.
Well, and speak about why a newspaper, a local newspaper, is important to a community. What does it bring a community?
Well, you, as a former newspaper reporter and now as an elected official, probably know that well. You know, we have reporters who cover what government is doing locally, what organizations, what's happening in town as opposed to in Portland or Seattle. I mean, our mission is local first. I mean, we also put other stuff in the paper. You know, when a mass shooting happens in New Zealand or something of that magnitude happens, you know, we need to note it. But we're going to put the local news up first. What matters to you? What decisions are your governments making that are going to affect you? We have paid staffers covering the state legislature. You know, they are making decisions right now that will raise taxes, that will impact the programs that mean things to you. And you need to know about those things, we think.
Yeah, and a big organization such as the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post may not want to cover Astoria Budget Committee meetings.
Probably not.
Yeah. How is it that the Daily Astorian has been able to stay viable for so many years when so many papers have not? I think of the Oregonian, Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper, once a great newspaper not that long ago, and it's unfortunately a shadow of its former self.
Well, they've fallen a victim to the corporate cuts. They're not owned locally. They're owned by Advanced Communications, which is a national firm, which has done that in other markets. You know, and they all follow a blueprint. When a national media company decides to slash in one way or do away with pensions or lay off people, pretty soon you see all the other companies doing it the same way. There are some what we call vulture capital companies out there now owning newspapers that have shut down newspapers or cut them to the core. So local ownership and local investment in the community is important because these people live in the community and they care. And I'll call out Steve Forrester, our former publisher, who is the CEO of EO Media Group, our parent company. You know, he lives here. He cares about what's going on here. He wants to make sure that this community is covered, and his family is willing to make the investment to do that. And that's important.
Carrie, would you like to add to that? How is it that the Daily Historian and the East Oregonian or EO Media Group, the parent company based in Pendleton, has been able to stay in business when so many newspapers have gone under?
Well, I think Jim's put his finger on it, and that is that local owners with local investment, they're willing to put an investment in the content and put an investment in the business. It's also making wise moves. Being able to say that this company is debt-free is a huge, huge benefit because they're not burdened by a lot of payments that are going out to other people that is not going to be reinvested in the community. I think the reinvestment in our press is a good example of looking ahead, knowing that as a local print hub, that that's part of our viable business. And part of it is just being able to invest in professional journalism, locally committed locally, created locally, credible, vetted, professionally created journalism.
Is the newspaper making money?
The newspaper is making money.
Wow. I mean, that's saying a lot today. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have debt, as you mentioned. When I first read the announcement that you were going to 3 days a week from five, I was worried that, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we were one step closer to there being no newspaper. But you say this, again, is actually a way to stay healthy and viable in the market today.
I think all businesses, regardless of who they are, have to look at how their industry is evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. And take lessons, good and bad, from what others in the industry are doing. And I think that what EO Media Group is doing is an example of that.
How close are we to the day when we don't have a print publication for the Daily Historian?
Well, two things, I think, put that farther off into the future for us. One is that we're a print hub for the region. Many newspapers, including the ones I used to work at, have outsourced their printing. We actually handle the printing for the other papers in the region who don't have their own presses anymore. That puts us in a position of relative strength there. I've always said that there may be a day without a print newspaper, but it's farther off than people think. A large percentage of our core readers tell us they like to have the print paper in their hand. They like to open it with their coffee. They'd rather, you know, we have a lot of people who read on their phones or tablets. I mean, that's just the way it is. We have a large percentage of readers who just don't want it that way. They still want it in print.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to hold the paper and spread it out before them and enjoy their morning, well, not morning coffee in the case of the Daily Historian, but their afternoon drink, whatever it is, before the newspaper. What do you see as the future of the newspaper over, say, the next 2-3 decades, Carrie?
I think that accurately, Jim has said, we will not see the print edition go away. I think that's far, far off into the future. In fact, there are quite a number of 18 to 24-year-olds in our research that take the paper. So I think that more, though, of the storytelling, more of the local information will be disseminated through the website, through multimedia. We'll see a shift in how news is delivered, and we'll probably see a lot of methods for news delivery in the next 20 to 30 years that we can't even imagine today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exciting but scary also. Jim, any predictions?
No, I think that this medium, you know, the internet, and technology allows us to tell stories in different ways, with video, with interactivity, with all kinds of things we couldn't imagine, you know, 20 years ago. So you look at it more as an opportunity as opposed to a challenge. You know, if you're a journalist and you want to tell stories, you want to tell those stories in whatever medium it might be, whether it's on a printed page, or online, or through video. I mean, for young journalists coming into the profession, that's an exciting thing for them. I mean, they're coming into a much changed profession than when Carrie and I came into it. But, you know, we're welcoming another Snowden intern from the University of Oregon this summer.
Excellent.
And I've got to tell you, the quality of the young kids joining this profession knocks your socks off. You know, it speaks well for the future of the profession.
That's great. And kids, these are young adults in their 20s, but they seem like kids to us nowadays. And we're all of the same generation, baby boomers. I was going to ask, I mean, will there come a time when newspapers are no longer in demand, whether they're in print or online, because we are, you know, us baby boomers are no longer around reading them?
Well, the biggest challenge is not that. The biggest challenge is the fragmentation of the audience, you know, the fake news syndrome, people trusting their news outlets less, the people gravitating towards highly partisan news sources, you know, people are only watching TV channels or reading publications that agree with their particular worldviews. And that I see as a bigger challenge than delivery.
What do you think, Carrie? As far as will there come a day when there is not a demand for newspapers, whether they're in print or online?
I think there's always going to be a demand for news. And I think there's always the search for news that's credible, that's been vetted, that they can trust. And so I think that's our challenge, is to make sure that we stay true to that mission. I think accurately, EO Media Group has identified that part of our mission is that if we have an informed public, then we will have strong communities. And it's part of our responsibility to help create those strong communities by providing that information. I don't see that that is going to change anytime in the near future.
Yes, Jim.
I have one other point to bring up while we still have time, and that's in the next month before these changes take effect, we're looking at everything that's in the paper, what's popular, what's not, reconfiguring it. So now's the time to provide your input. Send us a note at editor@dailyastorian.com. Give us your thoughts. What do you like best about the paper? What don't you like? Because right now is a time when we're reinventing, or not reinventing, but reimagining everything. What will our new newspaper look like? We want to make sure it's what you want.
Well, that's a good note to end on. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank my guests, Carrie Borgen, publisher of The Daily Historian, and Jim Van Nostrand, its editor, for coming into the studio and speaking about the decision to reduce publication from 5 days a week to 3, beginning May 6th. Thank you, Carrie and Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Under various names, The Daily Historian has been an institution on the North Coast since the 19th century. The announcement to reduce publication frequency, though not news content, coincides, perhaps not coincidentally, with the 30th anniversary of the World Wide Web, which has drastically altered the way news is delivered. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. The show is brought to you in part by a grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. The show was engineered today by Brian Bovenizer. It can be heard occasionally on the stations of Coast Community Radio, 91.9 FM Astoria and 89.5 FM Tillamook. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening.